Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Hyatt. This is Rolling Stone Music Now. Today, we're going to take our final look at the best music you didn't hear in 2023. And today, I'm joined by Jaleesa Lopez. Thanks so much for taking time to do this. We're going to talk about some of the best Spanish language music of 2023. I don't care that we're deep into 2024. It's still great music. It's only been a month. There's so much to talk about. And I'm always so glad when we do these episodes because there's so much great music, some of which I missed.
I really picked some, like, I guess like the Tiny album is a bigger one. We can obviously talk about Bad Bunny or Karol G. It just feels like people probably would have heard that already.
And some people get mad because it varies from sort of episode to episode, depending on people's picks on how obscure it actually is.
It's going to be a little obscure.
Good. And the other thing is, I would just remind the listener that the you in You Haven't Heard, you know, I really can't say whether you, the listener, have heard this. It's possible you have heard all this. If that's the case, forgive me, and you're very well-versed. But I personally always learn something, and I think it's an important distinction. You know, this is not a genre we're talking about here. We're talking about many, many genres that only happen to have one thing in common, which was the language that the people are singing in. But there's so many different kinds of music here. This is not a genre, to be very clear.
Exactly. And I say that kind of before every conversation I have about this. I think I tried to pick stuff that was very wildly different because that was a lot of what I was listening to last year.
A lot of guitar on here. All sorts of different guitars, but a ton of guitar.
I think a lot of that is the influence of Mexican music, but there's also a lot of punk and rock bands and alternative sounds popping up in random little pockets of Latin America. Yeah, I don't know. There's something too. I was walking with my son the other day in Prospect Park, and there was like a 14-year-old kid outside, and he had a Junior Atcha, who we're going to talk about. He had a song on, and he was learning to play it on a 12-string guitar in the middle of the park. And I was like,
I love that.
I haven't seen that before, but I do think there's something about like YouTube, TikTok world where kids are just learning to pick up all kinds of guitars.
So we'll start with, and most or all this is drawn from the excellent list on RollingStone.com of the 50 best Spanish language albums of 2023, and that includes some of the more mainstream picks, and these, again, are your favorites. And we'll start with number 50 on that list. The artist is Bratty, and the album is Trace.
This is one that kept coming up. Bratty, she's doing this like very dreamy kind of bedroom rock. And she's from Mexico. Her album, Tres, nailed a little bit of this like mopey adolescent sound while at the same time not feeling childish. I think she really nailed a lot of kind of emotion. I just want to say too quickly, like for our 50 best albums list, we put that together with a bunch of really brilliant freelancers as well as people on staff. Tomas Mir helped a ton with this list, but we also had people like Richard Villegas, who has this incredible podcast called Song Mess, where he travels all through Latin America. Marcos Hassan, Ernesto Lechner, Rosie Alvarez, like just a bunch of really smart people who helped put the list together, vote on things. It's a very democratic process. Everything gets voted on. And it's a long process as we whittle down. Because like you said, there's so many albums across multiple different countries.
Number 23 is definitely one of the biggest names on this list by far. And it's the Colombian star Feid.
This guy is massive. He's probably the biggest reggaeton star that sort of emerged in the last year or so. I did an event with Rolling Stone recently, like the Musicians on Musicians thing that we did in Los Angeles. And I was talking to a student who came up to me, and she was telling me, she was like, I think I like Feid better than Bad Bunny these days, which is a controversial thing to say. But he has really connected, I think, with a younger generation in a great way. He also famously dated Karol G for a while. But this album, Mor No Le Temes A La Oscuridad, is really fun. I think in general, he's got a sense of humor to his music and to his projects. All of his music is like the album art and what he wears on stage and the design is always bright green. When you see bright green, that Fade is about to do something crazy. And this album was inspired. He came into the office and he told us the way that he described it was, he was like, yeah, it was inspired by like Nights Out and also Nickelodeon. We're like, okay. But I think that he is in certain places on the album playing with certain like 90s, maybe electronic sounds. But this song, it's technically called No Te Sientas Sola, but he uses an X where a lot of the vowels should be. I really liked it because it's a little bit different from the rest of the album and that maybe it's not as playful as a lot of the other songs. It's a little bit more emotional and it's about like getting over heartbreak and feeling like you're not alone at the club. And to me, it was like really thinking about music as comfort and community. And also, I think just has a really unusual beat, and the sound he's using on here is a little bit more, it's a little softer and a little more emotional.
And number 21 is Rafa Pabon's Galleria.
Yeah, Rafa Pabon is cool. He's a singer-songwriter and he's been behind the scenes a lot. He actually helped co-write Rao Alejandro's giant song, Todo de Ti. And has been behind a lot of really big songs in reggaeton and urbano. And he's a trained musician. I think he more recently started to step out and find his own as an artist. But this album, Galleria, I thought was just really exceptional. He was playing with all these different genres. There's almost a song on there that's like a bolero. This song, Como Agua, I thought was just really fresh and really bright. And he's also just had an eye to, I think, on a lot of artists who are going to be really big. There's an artist right now from Puerto Rico who's been somebody that we've been really excited about this year, who was on our artist to watch in 2024. And she actually used to be his backup singer. So there's a lot of these interesting connections where he just seems to be right where music is exploding at the right time. So it's been really great to see him come into his own and do his own thing.
So tell me about number 16, which is your next pick.
Number 16 is Usted Señálamelo, and they are a rock band from Argentina, from Mendoza, that I've been excited about for a while. I also saw them at the same festival where I saw Chini do like a KXP live session, and these guys played live and just were really amazing, really interesting. They're rock bands, but I think they have a lot of dance elements to their music. There's also some ways that they're really inspired by folk traditions from Argentina, and they're pulling on a long history and heritage of rock en español. Argentina was really fundamental to that, and you had bands like Soda Stereo really shape what the rock scene in Spanish turned into. And I think these guys just really get it. They respect it. They are incredibly well-versed in both the rock heroes of their country and also the folk singers that came out of Argentina. You can hear a lot of that in their music. But this song, Nuevo Comienzo, I like because it's really fun. It's really upbeat. It's got a lot of vibrancy. And it's, I think, one of the really exciting parts of the album. I think this is actually what kicks off the album, if I'm not wrong.
And number 9 is another act we've talked about before, Grupo Frontera.
It sure is. Grupo Frontera had a crazy year. Similar to Peso Pluma, they shot to number 1 on Spotify's global chart with their Bad Bunny collaboration, Un Por Ciento. These guys are from McLean, Texas, and are revitalizing cumbia. It's very different than what I think they sometimes get lumped into the rest of the música mexicana scene. But these guys are really cumbia artist, and they're bringing back cumbia in a big way, and they're doing it with a lot of heart. The music is really sweet. I feel like I always it's always like the word I use when I talk about them. There's like a sweetness to it, there's a tenderness to the music, and you heard it all over their debut album El Comienzo, which was one of our favorites of the year. I was tempted to put the Bad Bunny collaboration Un Por Ciento on here, but I thought No Se Va showcased what they could do in a better way. And again, it's that very heartfelt cumbia sound, these lyrics that are emotional but not cheesy. And the song is a live version of it too, which I think really speaks to their ability as live musicians.
And number eight is a singer-songwriter from Argentina, Nicki Nicole. And the album is Alma.
Yeah, Nicki Nicole has been a really big phenomenon in Argentina. We talked about Usted Señálamelo, which is also from Argentina, but they're from very different parts of the sonic landscape of the country. Nicki Nicole was one of the leading faces of the trap scene in Argentina, which got really big around 2018, 2019. Nicki Nicole is a singer and a rapper. Her voice gets compared to Billie Eilish a lot. It's got this gauzy quality. And especially when she's singing, you can really hear it. It's almost this like ethereal feeling. And on this album, Alma, it really was a big step up from her previous record. She released her debut, Parte de Mí, I want to say in 2021. And that album felt like it was just showcasing everything that she could do. She was rapping. She was doing reggaeton with Rauw Alejandro. She was doing a little bit of everything. And this is a much more contained project.
And number seven is someone who can really rap. Jay Noah, and the album is, which I'll probably slightly mispronounce, is Autodidact, obviously.
So this kid is 17, which is nuts. She also one of the rising artists out of the Dominican Republic, and she had a really awesome viral year in 2023. I think with the 50th anniversary of hip hop, she came to New York at one point. And she, I'm going to forget who all was there.
It was like DMC, Hall of Fame of old school hip hop.
It was just a bunch of hip hop legends. And here's a 17-year-old kid freestyling in Spanish in front of them and really impressing them. She's tremendously skilled. She's such a fluid rapper. She's a kid. She's 17. But also, I think that I've been thinking about this a lot with last year with the 50th anniversary of hip hop. But there is such a tradition of Latin rappers and rappers in Spanish. And it just feels really exciting to see a new generation forging on, and especially female rappers achieving new things and impressing everyone with their incredible skill. She did a Tiny Desk concert that blew everybody's minds.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
And next up is something pretty unusual. The name is Val Gore, and they're a duo of siblings, and the album is Armageddon.
Yeah, this album was really, I was not expecting what was on here. It is a little package of weird in the best way. It's these two siblings from Oaxaca who are inspired by everything from, I think, psychedelic rock to goth pop to, I don't know, vampire like musical type, just these really dark theatrical sounds. But the album, I think, is also really layered and really exciting. Bola Hora, I think, is a great example of that. One of our writers actually interviewed them, Richard Villegas, and talked about how the first time that he interviewed them, they were sitting in their living room in Mexico, and they were just surrounded by all these old synths that they had taken apart and were trying to put back together just to experiment, and I think also to save some money. So there's something very like a little DIY about them, but also just really creative, kooky, and very wonderful.
So number five is an album full of really catchy stuff, and it's not surprising because Galay is a pro songwriter. It's written for people like Christina Aguilera and Selena Gomez, and this is her own debut, I think.
Yeah, she's similar to Rafa Pavón, is somebody who's been in the background in the industry for a little while. I heard this album early on and just thought she nailed a great pop sound. She's got a great voice. And then I think right before the album even came out, I saw her again on the Latin Grammys red carpet where she'd been nominated for writing one of Christina Aguilera's songs. And she was like, I don't even have an album out yet and I'm here. And so I think this album really showed everything that she could do. To me, one of the most exciting songs is Triste, which I think is this great sort of 90s pop rock sound that I think we've seen a lot in sort of the English language world. Like we've seen like Olivia Rodrigo play with that, but it hasn't quite caught on as much in the Spanish language world. And then Gale did it, and I thought she just nailed it, and it's so good. This is probably the song I played the most on this album, Lo Que No Te Dije. But the whole album is really different. Like there's another song called La Mitad, which almost has like a dembow reggaeton beat. There's like this crazy like electropop, almost Robin dancing on my own style song called Nuestra Canción. So she can just do a lot and she's a great songwriter.
And number four probably won't be new to anyone, but it's definitely worth talking about.
I felt like I had to put him on here because he just had a wild breakout year. I think Peso Pluma is somebody who I don't think anybody was talking about him in 2022. And then all of a sudden in 2023, he was everywhere. It's interesting to me because I think some of the really big stars in Latin, like Bad Bunny or Karol G, they really worked up to a big global moment. And there was something about Peso Pluma that just felt like a straight shot into mainstream stardom, which is not to say he wasn't working hard the whole time. I think that just the trip to the star status was a little shorter for him than for some other people. But he's an interesting guy. He's got a really distinctive, raspy, nasally voice that people either love or hate. He is on stage. He's very unique on stage. He's like known for doing, like, there's so many memes that I feel like my friends have sent me over the last year of him doing like weird, funny little dances on when he's performing. And there's like a really uninhibited quality to his music, I think, and to his style of performance. And so he's become the leading face of corridos tumbados, which are a really popular style of music in the música mexicana space, where it's almost like, I tried to describe it to somebody as like Johnny Cash meets N.W.A. It's this folk tradition that is really tied to street culture, and there's like a way that these guys have embraced hip hop, and a lot of them are very influenced by hip hop, Biso included. He spent a lot of time in the U.S. as a teenager, and I think you can aesthetically see that in who he is as an artist. He's not like going around with like a cowboy hat and cowboy boots. If you saw him, like, you might think he's a rapper. But I think also just the content of the music, it's got that, like, it's a lot of like flaunting what you have and a lot of swagger. And I think Lady Gaga is a great example of that, where he's referencing like pink cocaine and like luxurious parties, and it's one of his biggest songs of 2023.
It's the nature of the genre, but I just think it's so fascinating and incredible that it's so organic musically. Layers of acoustic guitars and horns, and this is what a global phenomenon is right now. Probably not really what anyone expected would help define sort of modern music, hit music in 2023 or 2024. Pretty interesting.
There's been a lot of conversation about that, about how they've taken it back to a much more organic way of making music. And Peso has like a 7-piece band, and I was in the studio with them not that long ago. And when they're putting together a song, it's like seven people recording seven parts of very complex arrangements to put one track together, and it takes hours and days. But they also have a rapper reggaeton mentality where, like, sometimes they're like, I'm gonna make 40 songs for my album, but maybe we're only gonna use 10. So if you think about just the level of musicianship and manpower that takes, it's really impressive.
To force that volume out of a much less efficient process is really interesting thing to try to.
I think they like it. They were like all about it. They were like, keep us going. We'll be here. We'll be here for days if we need to. An amazing amount of enthusiasm.
I am the highest paid tuba player in the world right now. That's what
exactly,
they're thinking.
Exactly.
That's great. I'm all for higher pay for tuba players. So number three is Diego Raposa.
Yes, I am obsessed with this kid. I think he is one of the most forward-thinking, exciting producers that is around, and I think he's going to be huge. He released this album, Yo No Era Así, Pero Ahora En Adelante Sí. And I remember, like, when I first listened to this, I texted one of my friends and I was like, this album is demented, but it's really fun and really different. And I think similar to a lot of the people that we've talked about, he's deconstructing a lot of things that are all over popular music or popular Latin music, at least right now, where he's like breaking apart reggaeton. He's putting dembow beats in places that you wouldn't think that they would go. But he's also got an amazing pop sensibility. And so this album, a lot of the songs are almost even just like sketches. Like, a lot of them are like a minute long, but it's a great portfolio of everything that he can do. And how I think he's really going to be one of the producers that's going to move Latin music forward. Yeah, like the music industry process and A&Rs, and it explodes into just this really unpredictable little ditty. But then he also, I wanted to contrast that with some of the songs where you can hear more of his pop sensibility. And I thought one of those was Si Supieras, which features the Dominican artist OK Flow. Another just great song, one of the longer, like, fully fleshed out tracks on here. But again, I just think he's so smart and so brilliant.
And then finally, this is number one on our overall list and also number one on your list. It's Tainy, spelled T-A-I-N-Y, and the album is Data.
I was excited that a lot of the albums that ranked higher this year were from producers and that we could go deep into their brains. But Tainy is just one of the architects of everything that's happening in Latin music. He started producing when he was 15 years old, and he's been behind arguably the biggest hits and responsible, I would say, for why it sounds the way it does today. I think he had an album that was called Tainy Presents before that was a lot of beats that he'd made, and he put a couple artists on it. But this was really diving into his creative process and into the way that he thinks. This album was my favorite, but I think also a lot of people who contributed to the list this year all agreed that it was just really like a futuristic look at where reggaeton could go, where Tainy could go. So you have songs that are like, I don't know, almost like 80s synth pop, and then they go into like deep, sort of dirty, down, underground reggaeton, and nobody's really doing what they're supposed to on this album. Like, he has Bad Bunny on like Mojave Ghost, which is a fun kind of like electronic smash that I think like it was streamed like crazy in 2023, but not really like a typical Bad Bunny song. And then you have like an artist like Arcángel, who's really known as being one of the more hardcore rappers in reggaeton and in Puerto Rico scene. And he's doing like a super bubbly, frothy, like almost like a pop song on here. You have the Panamanian artist Sech doing like the song that Tainy really wanted to add, almost these like emo rock guitars. So at every corner, you're getting something that is totally different. And it's also just a really catchy record. This is probably what I played the most in 2023 and still into 2024. So super exciting to see everything that Tainy accomplished last year.
When you talk about his production credits, it's actually hard to exaggerate how key he's been to this sound. I think it goes back to when he was 15 years old. He's only 34, and his credits go back to 2005. It's wild.
And on some of the biggest songs in the genre. It's like, right. He was like there's like a picture of him. I can't remember what award show it was, of like, he used to work with the very famous production duo Looney Tunes in Puerto Rico. And it's like them sneaking him into like an award show, and you like see him as like a high schooler holding like a little trophy. And he's been right there with Bad Bunny. As Bad Bunny has become a global superstar, he's worked on every single one of Bad Bunny's albums. And I think it's hard to understate how much of a role he's played in the globalization of reggaeton and Latin pop. I hope people check out the list, and I hope that they listen to more of it. It's hard to pick with so much great music, as we said at the beginning of this, but it was an awesome year of a lot of interesting artists doing interesting things.
And that's our show. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, subscribe to Rolling Stone Music now, wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us 5 stars and a nice review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, because that's always appreciated. But as always, thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week.